This is The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Whether you're in a relationship, dating, or happy solo, embrace your single journey and adventure to the fullest. Bill Napick and Robin French bring you The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Join us for great conversations, dating ideas, and single lifestyle tips. Now celebrating the single life, here's Bill and Robin.
Welcome to the show. It is The Single Life. I'm Bill Napick, right here with Robin French.
Hello.
Here we are, Robin. Once again, another episode of The Single Life. And we call it The Single Life because there's a lot of people here in Houston, Texas, and beyond that are single, just like you and I.
I was going to say, it's because that's our life, right?
That's right. And one of the things I think about Houston, there are millions of people.
Yes.
And many, many more coming in on a daily basis. So here we are. And let's take at the top of the show just something that is a topic. Now, last time we talked, we were all over the place.
Yes.
Spreading the ideas out there. So let's take a topic. And what is that topic we want to start with today?
We want to start with ghosting.
Boo.
That seems to be the subject that a lot of people want to talk, singles want to talk about. Ghosting.
Well, it's interesting that that word came up because I don't think it was used until just recently. I didn't hear about it until, I don't know, a year ago, a year and a half. Maybe I got late on the ghosting train, or they just didn't use that expression. So let's tell people, if they don't know what that is, what does ghosting mean in this world of singles and dating?
Well, it means maybe you started talking to each other via text and then they go dark.
There's another term. Now, what do you mean they go dark?
They go dark. You don't hear from them again. They didn't respond to your texts.
So after how many dates?
I don't know. It happens to people at different intervals. It just, you know, I mean, and then there's, you went on a date, you thought it was a really great time, and then you don't hear from them ever again.
I'll give you one better than that.
Okay.
That I think I just now thought of
now,
this.
I'm not saying I experienced these personally. I'm just telling you.
No one would ever want to ghost you.
No. I'm just saying.
Let me just tell you, everybody.
I'm not saying that. I'm just giving you ideas because you asked me, what does it mean?
Right. And because I think there are people that don't know what it means. And it's kind of mysterious along the word ghost.
Yeah. And I want to explain it, too, because I think that people aren't being mean when they ghost someone. I think that a lot of people stop talking or communicating with someone or responding to someone or picking up that call or responding to that text because they're just not interested, but they're afraid to break it to you that they don't want to take it any further. They just don't know how. They're just not capable. So they're not mean people. They're just not capable of communicating what they need to communicate.
They're taking the path of what they perceive as the least resistance.
Yes. And I think that women out there right now are going, she's getting them off the hook too easy. But it's true.
Here's what I want to know about ghosting. And that is, at what point do you expectations are such a big thing. At what point should a person, let's say you go on your first date, right?
Okay.
Two people go on a first date.
Yeah.
Now, is it expected that they're going to reach back out to you, male or female, whoever it is?
Well, I think during the date, if a man's interested, he should have that conversation during the date. Hey, you know what? I'd love to see you again.
That is the key.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That is the key, right? Now, what if he doesn't say that? And you're just having, let's take a lunch. You're having your lunch. Oh, it's very nice to meet you. And how's your hamburger? Are you enjoying your meal? Isn't this a nice place or not? Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then let's say it's never been laid out there on either part that they want to see you again. And okay. Hey, nice to meet you. And
it's great to meet you too. Right.
Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Like have a nice day. And he doesn't ask you out. I mean, 9 times out of 10, he probably doesn't want to see you again.
If he didn't mention it.
That's right. I can tell you, if you really want to test the water, the next morning, as a female, reach out to him via text or leave him a voice message and just say, hey, I had a gentleman tell me one time, this was so refreshing because no one else ever did that. But I reached out to him, said, listen, I had a lovely time last night. I just wanted to thank you again. And then he responded with, I did too, and I'd love to see you again. So I started that conversation. Because he didn't know. I guess he didn't pick up the signs that I was having a good time or not. But I gave him another opportunity, and he took it.
So what if the guy does what you said? Mm-hmm. Again, a guy and a girl situation here.
Okay.
The guy says, hey, I'm really having a nice time. It sure be nice to see you again. Mm-hmm. And the woman, in her mind, she's like, well, I don't want to see him again. And for whatever reason, but she's there. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're not one size fits all.
Exactly.
We're not one size fits all. And that's okay.
Right.
That's all right. You know, I mean, maybe
well,
you have
another.
A girlfriend that you can introduce him to. Do the guy a favor.
So that's the thing. It's the ghosting thing. I remember I went out with someone one time, and it was like we had a lunch. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's a lunch. You're having the lunch, and somewhere along, I can't remember now if I said something about let's get together again sometime. Oh yeah, sure, or something. It was laid down like you were saying in a way because mm-hmm. I enjoyed the company. I said let's get together again sometime, and she said oh yeah, great. I texted her another time and she never responded. So I was ghosted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just didn't know how to tell you. Because people don't want to hurt people's feelings,
right?
So they're just not capable. Or they just, it's too uncomfortable or awkward for them. So they just don't do it.
So then we're going to have to say ghosting. We're just going to have to.
It's becoming the norm, which is sad.
It has to be something that we consider that's part of the deal. It's collateral damage.
That's right.
In a way.
Indeed.
So ghosting's going to continue no matter what we say.
It is. It is. Again, because not everybody's a great communicator.
Brings up the subject, though, too, that in the course of all the things we have to be ready to be successful in dating, navigating dating water, should we choose that, and we'll lay it down. There are single people that don't even want to date, and they're happy just fine. That's great. But we have to say that in the course of being single and navigating and dealing with people and trying to find that right person, you have to be mentally ready, but also you have to have toughen up. There has to be a tough quality because feelings, any kind of relationship,
don't take it all personally.
It's just to look at it as an adventure, as a game, because feelings can get hurt on either side. So that's just part of the price of admission.
Absolutely.
I think that's a healthy way to look at it.
Especially in the beginning when you're just getting back out there and, you know, when you're getting your sea legs. For those who've been married for a really, really long time and you're getting back out there dating, it's a different dating environment for sure. And so, don't take things personally and just go out and have fun.
I think that's a good idea. Go out, be ready to have a good time, but also be ready to say, you know what, hey, there's going to be a couple. It's like the fighter going into the ring where I'm going to get a couple punches and I'm going to get a couple things are going to happen that don't feel good. And let's face it, in life, I don't care if it's your employment, your job, everything is not going to feel good. That's life.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And not everybody's going to bring their A game. Think about that too. What if you had this great date planned and somebody that day, I don't know, they got fired or they were written up or, you know, a friend, I don't know. Anything could happen throughout the day, right? But they still showed up for that date. I mean, and didn't bring their A game. I mean, we don't know
So many intangibles.
Yeah.
So a lot of things to think about. But yes, going back to the subject of ghosting, that's just one of the things that can happen. You may be the ghoster or the recipient. I don't know what the word would be. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you treat people the way that you want to be treated, you go back to that idea. That's probably a good way to start out, to have that mindset and just have a good time and keep the expectations.
Yes.
There you go. Keep the expectations at a reasonable level.
Yep.
And see what happens during the date, because you can kind of tell how things are going if you're perceptive and being yourself. You don't want to overthink things as you're there with somebody, but have a nice time and appreciate what's happening at the moment, and then you get a feel, I think.
Yeah, make some great conversation, and, you know, at the very least, you're going to meet a really great new friend, but don't do all the talking either, right?
You have to be a good
listener. How many times have you been on a date where that they just talk and talk and talk and they don't ask you questions?
Sometimes people are nervous and they talk too much.
That's true. That is true. Or all they do is talk about work. It's because they're comfortable talking about work, right?
Or they talk about their ex. Have you had that?
Oy vey, yeah.
Their ex-spouse or ex-girlfriend or boyfriend.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's a healthy,
huge turn off.
We don't want that. No. Let's go forward.
Yeah. Don't bring your ex to dinner with you.
Right, unless they're paying. That's my motto. Just have them send it ahead, and then we'll give them some time.
Well, that's a good subject, too. Like,
what's that?
How do you feel about who's going to pay? Because it's very different here in the South than it was in the North. That's another episode too, dating in the North versus dating in the South. But in the South, a lot of men are offended if you offer to pay a bill, to pick up the tab or pay your half or whatever. Southern men like to pay the bill.
Well.
And to even pay for the valet.
Well, there are men from the North that have moved to the South also, mm-hmm. and I'm one of them, mm-hmm. although I've been here for a long, long time. But I remember my standard protocol through dates, lunch dates, especially when it's, that first meeting, especially if it's a first meeting from a dating app or something, mm-hmm. that I've had women say, well, do you want me to get half or, no, I always get it.
That's good.
So, that's just me, and yeah, I think that's what you do. But it is interesting, mm-hmm. as I think back to the amount of times that a woman actually offered mm-hmm. to pay. So I'll tell you another one. I went mm-hmm. on it. This is going back a long time ago. I remember one. Now, when you order, I would think this is the man thinking, or me. I'm not speaking for all men. But this is me thinking where if you're going to go out with someone that you never met before and you go to a restaurant, you're probably not going to order the lobster mm-hmm. or the highest priced thing on the menu.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went out on a date with a girl a long time ago and they didn't have lobster at this restaurant. If they did, she probably would have ordered it, but she ordered every little incremental thing that you could get: a drink, a second drink, an appetizer, a salad, an entree. I mean, dessert.
She was hungry.
It's like, I'm thinking, have you eaten before, or are you really hungry? Is there a money thing here? But it was above and beyond.
She had to date because she couldn't afford to entertain herself?
Or something.
Is that what you were saying?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I ordered what I normally would have ordered at the time, but it was interesting to see how it seemed like she was just really hungry. But I mean, when you first meet someone,
that a turnoff?
Yeah. Not so much was it a turnoff. It intrigued me more from the psychological standpoint because, first of all, I don't care if you're married or single, the human psychology is absolutely fascinating. And I'm a student of that and an observer of my own self, but also as I see people out in the wild, whether it's a date or something else. But I just found it interesting because I wonder what's going on in her mind.
Yeah.
Is this because you? Yeah. There,
what's, I hear you.
I can't think of the word that I want to say. There's a sensitivity that you calibrate yourself to the situation, and I didn't think this.
Was she tiny or a big girl?
She was just medium size, regular size, regular. Yeah, regular size.
I mean, you've seen me eat. But I can eat.
Right.
Right? I can throw it down. But I don't start from the top and order from every. Yeah.
Yeah, every category. And as I reflect upon this is a long time ago, whatever I paid for that meal, mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it now even more because it's funny to look back at that as right. we're having a laugh about it because it's just interesting, all the different things that could happen. And you throw in the idea of money, that's a dynamic of whether who's paying or what, and that's a whole nother subject. But yeah, it is interesting. I never, like on a business deal or on a business dinner, if someone takes me on, and I have been the payer of many a one-on-one dinner, mm-hmm. three people to dinner, taking a group of 12 in my business career, I'm no stranger to that. But if someone's taking me out,
right,
a business client or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't order the most expensive thing. I might have a drink,
right,
a salad, an entree. Not a dessert guy by and large, but I'm mindful. That's the word I'm looking for, of the other person's wallet, and try to treat that like it's my own in a sense.
Right, right.
And that's the best way I could put it.
I think it's fun to each of you find a meal that you both agree on, and then split it.
Well, that's nice too.
Half and half. That's fun.
Well, that also goes with my current plan. I'm watching what I eat. And as I've evolved, I find that, hey, one meal, a good meal in the middle of the day, we'll call it lunch. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll have a big breakfast every once in a while. But having a nice lunch is a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. Because at this point in life, hey, I'm not really that hungry at night. I might have a snack, but I don't need three big meals a day. Mm-hmm. I need one meal that I really enjoy, bowl of cereal, snack at night, maybe.
Well, we're of a different age now, too, though. Well, so,
if you youngsters out there, I mean, you might
they're still eating three meals.
Go eat your three meals. You know? That's your deal.
Exactly.
Now that I think of it, I don't know that I ever had three square meals. I always skip breakfast.
How do we go from ghosting?
See that?
To getting.
Therein lies the magic.
Advice on what to order.
I don't know. Man, I'm still thinking about that date. She ordered everything. Maybe she might even had a milkshake to go. I'm surprised she didn't order something to take home. I've had that happen. Wait a minute. Now that I've had someone say, do you mind if I take...
Are you serious?
Honest to God, I'm just now thinking,
Lord,
I can't...
have mercy.
I remember that situation like it was yesterday, even though it wasn't. But now that I cannot be clear, I have actually had someone say... I want to order another, I'm going to take this home. I don't know, for her child, for her friend, her boyfriend. I don't know. Honest to goodness. Yes, that was a thing.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that fun?
I don't know if fun's the word.
Because as
what did you say?
I don't know. But honestly, that had happened.
But you bought it. I mean, you did. Okay.
But yes. I don't know if that still happens or if that person's still out there, but whatever. Wow. Fascinating, isn't it? We'll call that dating experiences. And but being mindful of the person you're with, being courteous.
Yes.
Yeah, there's just certain protocols that you want to bring in place.
And be sure to thank him, because I have had...
And vice versa.
You know, there's been a lot of men out there who have said, you know, you wouldn't believe how many women don't say thank you. And men too, right?
But you're bringing up another topic, and that comes under the category, it's the little things.
It is.
And not just in dating, but in everyday life.
Set yourself apart from the pack.
Set yourself apart, say thank you, and do something nice, something, even if it's little things go a long way and become big things.
They do.
Just like in arguments. Think about this. When people have an argument, sometimes it starts with a tiny thing, but it can become a big thing in marriages, in relationships. So once again, the topic is, or the idea is, it's the little things. So do a lot of good little things, and I think you'll be well served.
For sure. Yep.
No doubt about it. You're listening to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. We're coming right back.
The Single Life. Tune in Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC or streaming on the iHeartRadio app to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Bill Napick and Robin French bring you The Single Life every Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is The Single Life with Bill and Robin. So, Robin, I thought that was interesting, some of the things we touched upon, and it makes me think of doing things for others. It's the little things, like we said, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love when somebody does, you know, again, it's all about setting yourself apart from the pack. You don't want to be like everybody else. Do something different. Show them that you care in little fun ways.
Well, give us an idea in your past relationships. What has someone done for you that was considered a little thing that you really appreciated?
Gosh, let me think. I have to rewind the tape here. Flowers. Someone who brings you flowers or sends flowers to your work. That's always lovely, right? Cards, love cards, but I'm a card giver.
You're a card giver in terms of
so I like to receive them,
but
too.
But you like to receive them. And,
sure.
And this is something like with a handwritten note, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Someone That's expressing nice themselves.
Right.
Little things, little surprises. What about you?
I like when a woman would cook a dinner or a lunch. I like when someone cooks because in the process of dating as a guy, especially, you're going to be having lunches, buying dinners yes. and breakfast. And it's not even just
expensive
the buying
for a guy. Yeah. It's,
there's a cost involved, but there's also a lot that goes with that as well. But it is so nice when a woman just says, hey, let me cook dinner tonight, or come on over the house for lunch, whatever your timing process is. When someone, especially with food, I really enjoy that because what that does, I don't have to think about where to go.
Right, right.
And of course, there's going to be a conversation where they already know, or you discuss, oh, what would you like for dinner? Or do you like this? I'd make a tremendous crab cake. Mm-hmm. Great, that sounds good. So just that work is done for you, but it also shows that she cares.
Right. But on the other hand, how early on is someone inviting you over to their house?
Well, to me, it's not a matter, and they could cook at your house. It's not so much the place. It's the food and the fact that she wants to do that and has given me a break as far as going to a restaurant and going through all the stuff you do at a restaurant.
Right, right, right.
Nothing wrong with restaurants. I'm eating at restaurants all the time. But having that home-cooked dinner, I think it's great.
It's a lot more intimate and a lot more personal, right? But isn't there a certain expectation if you're inviting a man over to your house that they might...
If you're a woman,
that you're,
there could be, but I don't think that's
what
a
man's going to think if you're in.
No, and going back to what you were saying, when should this happen?
Yeah,
it could. It depends on what you feel for the person, so to speak,
for
or
sure.
or what you've, how long you've talked, mm-hmm. what have you surmised, what is the feeling back and forth? There's certainly as we think about dating and even marriage and conversations in a relationship, a big thing is trust.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a certain trust established,
right.
then you go
exactly.
forth. I mean,
yeah.
if I went out with someone and for a first date, and the next date she says, hey, you know, I cook a really great crab cake, and mm-hmm. right now she's hitting the button because I love crab cakes, or I make tremendous spaghetti. Let's just have dinner at my house.
Hmm.
I'd be saying, great. If that's the second or third date. And that also, wow. especially early on, that gives you an idea to learn more about the person,
mm-hmm.
to see where they live and these sorts of things.
For sure.
You're going to learn so much. But going back to the pure motive, I think it's just nice to have a good meal and
sure.
not have to worry about a restaurant. I appreciate
Again,
that aspect.
Acts of service, right? Right. Now, what's your secondary love language?
Well, we'd have to bring up, of course, everyone knows about the book. The five love languages mm-hmm. are physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, and acts of service. To me, I would have to say perhaps quality time, although
yeah.
I like all the five categories.
Right, right, right. Physical touch isn't one of your secondary?
It's right there. that's a tie for first.
Exactly. Mine is receiving gifts is first, which is really interesting because most people would assume that that's like, oh, she loves gifts. Here's the thing. My mother and my father, in their relationship, my father loved to pick up little things and give my mom gifts because she enjoyed that. And I think watching my parents do that, that just became one of my things too. And again, it doesn't have to be a large gift. It can be flowers. It could be a card. It doesn't matter what it is, but just a little something saying, here, this made me think of you. But that's my number one.
Well, really, the bottom line is anytime someone's thinking of you
mm-hmm.
and that manifests itself in a way, whether they're giving you a gift, washing your car,
right.
touching you,
mm-hmm.
that's a nice thing.
It is nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're recognizing you, and that's a way to say, hey, I care about you. Or in the early stages, they're just saying, I like you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just express yourself. A lot of people don't know how to do that, right?
I don't know. I think you need, that's one of the things you better have in your tool belt.
You better.
in addition to listening to this show, maybe we're going to give someone an idea along the way, but that makes me think of the idea of as you're dating, it's in the dating process, you have to have some skills. You have to develop some skills. You have to develop an awareness.
Sometimes
and I'm not even saying I have any of this stuff, but as an an observer in life, you have to have some of these things and develop them. And when you make mistakes, which you're going to make many, make note of it and learn.
Yeah. Now, when you do you find that when you've been on dates in the past that you're a good communicator asking them questions along the way?
Interesting.
Trying to find out more about them, or do you tend to talk too much?
I might tend to talk too much. Mm-hmm. I do try to listen, also mindful that in the talking, it's not all questions. I mean, if you're asking too many questions, you don't want to be like a detective. You know, that gets at so many subjects. That gets to the give and take. Do you like talking with that person?
Absolutely.
With a person that you're dating, you have to feel comfortable. Is there a sense of humor?
Mm-hmm.
And does it happen naturally? And does silence happen naturally? Can you be driving around where you don't have to talk?
Silence. That's right. Yep.
Now, this is a talk show. We'll keep talking. But but there's a time when you're with someone and you're just driving somewhere. You might not even be listening to anything.
You just love being around
them. You like being around.
That's awesome.
And I think that's a very important thing.
Yeah, that's a goal that we all want to meet for sure.
Let's talk about some of these things. What about quality time? What does that mean? What do you think quality time means?
Well, making time for that other person. I mean, have you ever been into a relationship where they just really didn't set much time aside for you and it didn't make you feel special, right?
Well, it makes me think of our world today. One of the things I don't care about outside of relationships, just in general, I hate when people say, man, I'm really busy.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear that. We hear this all the time. And in my mind, I say, well, I'm real busy too,
right?
But I'm not going to tell you how busy I am because I don't want to bore you. And I have a sense of courtesy because if I start itemizing all the things that I do in my life and interests that I have, I'm going to tell you I'm busy. So we're in a busy time of life. The value of quality time is so important.
Right.
Because like you were saying, you make time with someone.
I don't care how busy you are, professionally or personally, if so, you can always find time for a cup of coffee with someone or, you know, just a quick visit or pick up the phone. You're never too busy for that. Or just to send a quick text, just to say, just want to let you know I'm thinking about you.
Even an emoji. Come on, give me an emoji every day. Do you ever see one on the texting? That's a whole nother thing. You're getting into the language of 2024. Who knows what's going to be happening? Getting off on a tangent, but 50 years from now, are people even going to talk? I wonder what's going to happen.
I don't know.
But anyway,
Chat GPT, all their conversations.
Think about where did the emoji even come from? That
because I don't know.
I love emojis. I think it goes back to if you think everything returns back to to where it started or a circle of life and these things, but back in. On walls and caves, there were hieroglyphics. So I'm going to guess those were the early emojis. But I like to get a text from someone, and I like to use the emojis. And I like when someone says they're going to say it's okay, whatever okay is, and then they minimize it so much to where it's just the K. You know, you've seen that.
Oh, yeah, or KK.
What does that one mean?
Just KK.
It's okay. Yeah. KK. So, but yeah, but.
Or you know mine. 10-4.
10-4. Roger that. But people, they're so busy, they just want to do one digit on the emoji, whether it's an emoji rather, or whether it's just one letter. That's how busy we are.
That's how busy we are. Can you imagine? Yeah.
But in a perfect world, maybe we should just all communicate via emojis. I don't know if they've created enough, but the emoji is who made those things?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not
they're
a big
kind
fan
of, fun.
Of texting in general, but I do it because everyone does.
You can't get away from it. I remember when texting first emerged, I said to myself, I'm not going to do this. I don't like this. If I want to talk to someone, I pick up the phone. If they answer, great. If they don't, if you want to talk to me, call me. I was anti-texting early on, but you can't get away from it.
I remember years ago, I had been on a couple dates with someone, and he was a big, huge texter. And he traveled a lot, too. So I guess that was one of the, you know, the ways he had to communicate. But I finally just said to him, listen, I'm not a texter. I'm a phone person. You got to pick up the phone. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear emotion. I want to hear all of that. I am just not a texter. And I never heard from him again.
He didn't even text you?
It's fine. Yeah. Just...
He yep. could, you could have got the text K.
Again, okay. Back to ghosting. He just, all roads lead to ghosting. He was not happy about that at all. But, you know, hey, not so my guy.
Somewhere, he's texting someone, perhaps.
He is, yeah. And she's enjoying it. But again, I think, well, we've talked about this before. Texting is meant for, hey, I'm going to run late. I'm running late. Or can I call you now? Is now a good time to talk? It's not meant for these full-on conversations or disagreements or whatever. It's just not. Correct? Wouldn't you agree?
It depends on the relationship. Maybe maybe two people like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not my jam.
That's a whole other thing. The texting is a big thing, but in our world right now, there's no way around it. However, when something is done like this, it's the opportunity to, like you were saying with a handwritten note, to do something different and stand out from the pack.
Indeed.
And there's a lot of ways to stand out from the pack. For some reason, I'm thinking of where do you go with somebody, even if it's someone you're already dating, maybe even friends, but we're talking about dating here, I guess. Don't go to the same old restaurants everyone else does.
Right.
One of the things I used to love to do for a variety of reasons is, this is one of my great dating tips, I think, and one I've used, go to a luxury hotel. A luxury mm-hmm. hotel to meet someone, even if it's for a coffee,
yes,
is superior to the run-of-the-mill restaurant, so to speak, because many times, if not most of the times, these are places where you can actually talk.
For sure.
They might be a little bit, it might be a quieter place.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere, again, luxury hotel, the atmosphere, right. It's not run-of-the-mill. No. So you're already in a nice atmosphere place with this person, whether it's the first date, you're getting to know them, maybe you're coming off a dating app.
That's a great idea.
And you say, oh, let's meet at this beautiful hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing. So
and
you're
going to have
great
service.
Point. And you have great service.
Guaranteed great service.
If you're going to be there for lunch or dinner or something. But even just a coffee is nice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a great idea, Bill. What other ideas do you have?
That's it. That's all I got. No,
but
that is a good idea to be in a nice environment, and it doesn't have to be a luxury hotel. And going back to regular restaurants, here in Houston, to be single in this city and to have at your fingertips restaurants that are really great,
right?
And we sure have our share of restaurants that are mediocre too. Mm-hmm. So it's hit and miss.
Right.
Certainly, I think most people on a date, when they go out for the first time, they go to the ones that are tried and true in the sense of adventure. It's kind of fun to go try something new together, and you might be disappointed together. Who knows? That's part of the life's adventure, though.
But don't you get sick of going out to dinner for dates? Don't you wish that a woman would be more creative and give you ideas of things to do?
Well, there's a lot of things to do. First thing when you say that, I'm thinking food. I'm thinking, okay, I'd like to have someone cook me a dinner.
Cook you a dinner.
Or a
right?
lunch or a breakfast, whatever. Hey, breakfast mm-hmm. is a fun thing. If someone's really good working with eggs, which are difficult, I think, to do properly, that's a nice thing. Let's have breakfast together.
Yeah, Bill likes a good poached egg.
I like a good poached egg.
Not easy to do.
It is not.
Mm-mm.
But as far as other places to go, there are a lot. Going back to
other
Houston,
ideas.
There are so many great places here. There are parks. There's a lot of waterfront activities. Between everyone thinks of the Houston now, the metropolitan area of Houston is so vast, north, south, east, and west. We have expanded to so many areas, and we hear about people taking day trips to different places. But right between the city and, let's say, Katy, Texas, and Fulshear, Texas, which is growing like crazy, you can go to the Cypress Boardwalk,
mm-hmm.
which is just north of I-10 and Barker Cypress Road. You go up there about 20 minutes, and you have a nice, you have coffee shops, you have restaurants, and you could look at some water, and that's always a nice thing. Simply put, we have so many great places to go for a date, for you're with someone that you've been with for a year and all that. A lot of great places to go, not even mentioning musical venues.
Yeah, a nice walk, and then there's conversation. You can get to know them better. But yeah, comedy clubs, right? We talked about.
I forgot. Do they still have comedy club? I have not been to a comedy club in a million years.
Oh, I went last year. It was so much fun.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, now, in the beginning, you don't want to go out to something like that, to a movie or a comedy club or all of that, because in the beginning, you want to get to know one another, so there needs to be conversation.
Exactly. I want to talk to someone, as you're saying, I want to get to know somebody.
Now, are you asking them if they can cook on the first date?
It depends what subjects come up, maybe.
What if she can't cook? Will you still date her?
That's okay.
Okay. You can learn how to cook together.
Well, you can learn how, or I can cook. One of the two. I'm not a great cook, but I can grill, and I could watch YouTube videos and put things together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But as long as you're doing it together. No, the person doesn't have to be a great cook. It doesn't hurt if they are, though.
Yeah, it's a plus, for sure. Again, men are simple creatures, right?
They are.
Be nice to them. Feed their ego. Put some sugar in their bowl. And if you can cook, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's right. No, if you can cook, and I think to some degree that might be a rarity, the cooking.
Nowadays. Didn't used to be, but nowadays, yes.
I mean, think of your friends. Uh-huh. You have single girlfriends.
Yes. Most of them know how to cook.
They may know how to cook, but do they like to cook?
They do if they have time. Yes.
Well, on the subject of food, I'm just thinking of this.
Bake. I love to bake. I'm a baker.
There's bakers out there. Mm-hmm. I've run into it, Robin. Yep. Bakers.
Baking for me is like gardening for other people or whatever their hobby is, music, whatever that is. But years ago, I can remember my dad said to me, because he knew that that was the way I relax. And he could tell when I had a lot of anxiety or stress on a telephone call because he lives 1,100 miles away. But I remember one time he said to me, "When was the last time you baked, Robin?" And then I knew I needed to decompress.
So when you bake, what is your first item?
Oh,
can you bake chocolate chip cookies?
I can bake anything. I just love to bake. I could bake pies, quick breads, cookies. At Christmas time, I make tons and tons of different types of cookies. Yeah, I'm a baker. Mm-hmm.
That's
you
awesome.
Name it, I can bake it, I think.
So apparently we're talking about food here. This is
are.
The Single Life with Bill and Robin.
No, I'm hungry.
Food talk. But it's such an important element, not just in male and female and romantic relationships. Food is breaking bread. The expression goes, it's part of business. It's part of everything. It's so important as we think about the great things that are in life. We mentioned it's the little things in life. And yeah, it is nice. I think it'd be nice to receive, you're dating someone, in my case, some chocolate chip cookies, homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Good to know.
Those are great things,
yeah,
right?
Good to know.
To mention a brownie.
Well, and going back to eating out too, you know, you can tell a lot about a person when you're sitting at a restaurant with them. A, did they show up on time? B, how did they treat the waiter or the waitress, which tells you everything about a person.
Or the server.
In my opinion.
I don't know what even the right word.
Server.
That, right?
I'm sorry, I used the wrong word.
I don't know if that's wrong.
Yeah.
But.
Their table manners. Did he let you order first? There's a lot that you can tell about someone eating out with them.
On the subject then of the other person when you are on a date at a restaurant, being specific, it's a great way to know somebody and you watch and listen. Mm-hmm. Along the way, especially in the early stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's probably a few deal breakers that happen where you're saying, I don't want to go anywhere with this person again, let alone to a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
That happens.
And there's certain things that you want to be careful of too, like not drinking too much on your date, right? 2 drink minimum is good.
It's a good rule of thumb.
It is a good rule of thumb.
Not everyone even drinks.
Unless it's a mojito. I have a funny story. Many years
remind
ago.
Remind
me,
what
me
is
back.
A mojito, by the way?
It's rum and sugar
pineapple?
And mint.
I don't know. See, I don't know all the mixed drinks.
They're very powerful. Ahead. Here's my story. Back when I was in my late 30s, I was on a first date. And we went to this restaurant and he ordered a mojito. I said, that sounds great. I'd love to have one of those. And he said, okay. So I was drinking and it went down pretty fast. And so I ordered another one. And he's like, you know, you might want to be a little careful with those. They sneak up on you. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. Nah, you know, I can hold my liquor. And so at some point I'm like, this steak is really tough. And he said, sweetie, and he grabs my knife and he turns it over and he said, you might want to try the serrated edge.
So the mojito, the power of the mojito,
the power of the
confused
mojito.
Your hand and you had the steak, the
like,
knife.
The steak is so tough. I think the mojito hit me.
Let's have another one.
I was using the wrong side of the knife. Oh boy. Anyhow, he did end up asking me out on a second date though, so I didn't blow it with the mojito adventure.
I'll have wine and beer for my, if I'm going to drink alcohol, usually wine, usually beer in the evening. And if I go to a restaurant, many times I don't drink. Mm-hmm. It's just too much hassle I might like to have a drink, but I won't drink. Mm-hmm. Unless there's an Uber situation or
Good.
Something like that.
Good
Unless
advice.
Someone's driving with me, because even if I have one or two drinks, I just feel that the law enforcement and the word on the street is you could have one drink and that they're ready to arrest you and put you in chains. And it's just not worth it. If a policeman pulls you over and said, well, have you had a drink? Oh, I just had one. And they're going to say, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Even though you just had one, it's just not worth the trouble in my eyes, but I overcompensate usually and just don't want to hassle. And I'll have a drink when I get home. But a mojito, I think as I'm thinking about, I think there is a mint element to it, but don't know that particular drink.
Yeah. I don't know what made me think of that. Date experience, but that was a funny one.
That is
might
funny.
Want to try the serrated edge, Robin.
Or we have, Robin, we have a special knife for you. Both sides you can use. See, if I were that guy, and if he had a sense of humor and he also had a knife making shop, the next date he could say, Robin, we got it covered. Here's the knife with two edges. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Hey, that could be my new invention. When you're plastered, you better use the two-edged knife.
Just for record, I wasn't plastered.
Well,
I don't know what I was, but it's only my second mojito. But
for the
anyhow,
record,
let's
you
move
weren't.
On. Can we move record, on, please?
So in the process,
feels like hey, I'm still waiting. Robin,
I'm already
for some mojitos.
Listen, in my mind, I've already started a knife shop, and I'm focusing on two-edged steak knives. So listen, if you go to a restaurant out there and you find a two-edged knife, you know that they're stealing my idea, Robin.
Okay.
So it ain't
right.
We should have patented this.
Can we move on?
So let's move on. You're listening to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. We're coming right back.
The Single Life. Tune in Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC or streaming on the iHeartRadio app to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Bill Napick and Robin French bring you The Single Life every Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC.
Welcome back. It is The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Bill Napick here and
Robin French.
How about that? What a great last name you have, French.
Thank
huh?
you.
Super awesome. You. Yeah. Well, Robin, there's so many things to talk about as we think about the single life as those that are listening. Well, I'd like to identify there are people out there when we talk about being single. Yeah, you're either single or you're married, right? That's one way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. And there are also the categories of singles. There are people that are wanting to meet someone. And then there's people that are either not ready or just fine where they're at in life. And they're like, I don't need a mate. But if something happens, the right person.
Good point. There's
something like that. There's that situation that's out there.
Yeah.
So
you can't assume that somebody, because they're single, they're single because they can't find a partner. There are a lot of folks out there. And when they identify someone as being single, they're assuming that's because they couldn't find a partner. But that's not correct. There are a lot of people who are perfectly content being single. They enjoy their single life.
No doubt about it.
Because assume.
We say we're celebrating the single life. And quite frankly, whatever your station and situation in life is, you want to celebrate that. You want to appreciate and the blessings that you have and be thankful for those things. Mm-hmm. And if you are in the mode where you're looking for a mate, enjoy that journey and make it fun. I think I said earlier here in the show that of all the places you can be, and I know people hear the show outside of Houston, Texas, but certainly Houston, Texas is fertile ground to really have a good time being single. And I'm going to also just put myself in the place and say, what if I lived in a town is not that big?
Mm-hmm.
I bet we could have fun being single there too. There's a way, there's things to do. there's just more stuff here, more
there's
restaurants.
There's more opportunity.
There's more
That's
people.
Right.
There's a point where it becomes a numbers game,
Definitely
right?
Definitely more opportunity. And we should probably touch on the fact that I have a lot of friends who live in the city, in the Loop, and we can go into what that means in a minute, that will not date somebody outside of the Loop. Have you ever had that happen?
It has been a factor in my dating life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long, but it's a massive factor.
Yeah.
Because
Bill lives in the suburbs.
I live in a suburb, but I do not live in the center of Houston. And if you are listening outside of Houston, just picture Houston as the planet Saturn. There's a center and there are literally rings around it.
Yes.
There's the 610 Loop, 99, Beltway 8. And these are all things that are around Houston. And by the way, Houston, as I said earlier, is expanding in every direction from a real estate standpoint. People are coming in all over the place.
Right.
However, some people, whether they live inside Houston or in Katy or in Sugar Land, they may just not want to drive over a certain amount of time.
It's traffic.
Traffic is bad here. So
it's really bad.
It's
and that's
a double-edged
one of the main
thing.
Reasons that people don't want to date somebody, you know, 15 miles away or whatever, because traffic is bad here.
Traffic is bad. And then you could say the romantic side of me says, well, if you really...
That's true.
If you're using your term, if you're head over heels or whatever it was...
Over the moon.
Over the
Call
moon.
It over
it.
The moon.
Yeah. Not a big deal.
No.
But it is a big deal. I've found it to be
it
a big deal.
It is a big deal.
There's more. It's a numbers game. There's more opportunity to meet someone here that's going to fit you. If you're looking for someone, that is. If you're not, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more opportunity because there's more numbers.
Yes.
Now, how long does it take you, just looking at it from a logic standpoint, how many of those people do you have to date to find the one for you and vice versa? It's almost like employment. Here in Houston, Texas, people move here for employment because we have great economic opportunities. But to find the right person for your company, if you're a business owner, it's not necessarily easy. So we're talking about finding the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to have skills in the process of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I like the idea. If someone lives, how far away is too far? It's a
yeah,
good point.
That's a whole episode there. So there's that. Some people won't date.
That's why I'm single.
You because, or maybe because you have a pet, or maybe you have two pets, right?
That's a big thing.
I've seen a few eyebrows raise when I mentioned that I have two dogs, not just one, but two. And then the next question is usually, how old are they?
What they're saying is, when are they going to die?
Exactly.
That is horrible to think about.
It is horrible.
but you're right. That's when are they going to die, Robin?
Gosh.
See, that's not even right, is it?
It's wrong in so many levels. You actually had someone who didn't like dogs in the house.
Oh, well, I went out on a few dates, or let's just say lunches, whatever you want to call it. What's a date anymore? That's a different show.
Yeah.
But yes, this was someone I actually liked.
Aww.
And you know why I liked her? Anyone could identify with this.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you'll meet someone. They might like how you look. They might like your sense of humor. Those are just common things.
But, yes.
But this person actually saw the different. I'm doing different things. Everyone's different. But I have a lot of different activities that I do, and I do them with a certain skill level. This person actually recognized that and said, wow, you're doing all these different diverse things in the arts, in business, public speaking, and these different things. And she recognized that. And I thought, wow, no one's paying attention. She paid attention.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of fed your ego, too.
Well,
it did.
To me, yes, it did.
Yes.
But it made me think that she's in a higher intelligence level already. This is my warped world, right? I'm thinking she actually has higher intelligence to recognize these things. I'm just, yes, you are absolutely right. I can do all these things.
How about
and
that?
Then,
I am a catch.
That's hey, I'm pretty fantastic.
Yeah, why am I still single?
I'm pretty fantastic. But then I think I wanted to test the waters. I said, well, look.
Oh, boy.
You know, I have a dog.
Oh.
And or either I said that or I said, do you like dogs?
No.
Do do you like dogs? She says, I love dogs. I don't think they should be in the house.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we are taping this show. There is a dog sitting right next to us.
Poor Elvis. He's sitting there.
He's growling at me.
He's growling. And they shouldn't be in the house. Where should they be?
That's a very good question.
Well, she was meaning they should be at someone else's house, but not the one I live in. So I'm thinking,
that was the last time you saw her, huh?
That was the last time.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a shame. Because
did you tell her or did you just ghost her?
I was Casper the ghost in that case. I was like, no. See you later. But the point is, you have to be matched up in a like.
Yes.
People have to like the same things, basically. Yeah. At least most of those same things. But I want to say that there's probably there's the success story that still is out there. And that success story is, how many times is there someone that doesn't like something until they learn about it? Next thing you know, they're a fan. So there can be a success story.
Yeah, If you're into someone, I truly believe that you will, you know, let's say they want to go to the movies or they want to go see a jazz show, whatever. If you're really into them and you didn't want to do it, you would do it. It's compromise.
But this girl thought I was fantastic.
Oh, man. Yes. Until she found out you had a dog.
Until she found out I want my dog in my house. And if we get together, you're going to be in the house with the dog. That's not going to work, apparently.
Well, and I sleep with my dogs. I mean, that's a whole new...
That's right.
That's a deal breaker if they won't let me.
There's different
if they
levels.
Don't want dogs in the bed, sorry. My dogs have no boundaries, really. I mean, they're not up on the cupboards or anything. But
now we're getting into the cat mode. Cats climb all over the place.
Well,
but
I'm
that's
allergic,
right.
So that's a problem for me.
So the guy had a cat.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Hey, Robin, let's say we had you and I. We go out. We have five great dates.
I would have known on the first date if you had a cat, though.
Are you going to ask?
Yeah, I'm a vetter. I like to vet.
So you're the Grand Inquisitor, Torquemada.
Yeah. Just a natural born interviewer,
curious,
too.
Right.
I'm curious. Yes, absolutely.
So the guy says that first date, you're having a good time.
Yeah.
You're feeling something.
Yeah, I'm allergic.
And he goes, well, I got to get home and feed my cat.
I'm allergic. Yeah, it's a problem.
Benadryl. There's Claritin D and Benadryl. Relationship enhancers. No.
I mean, years ago, I would have tolerated. I did, actually. My ex had a cat, and he's like, take a pill or take a shot. And I did. But nowadays, no. Mm-mm. No.
Well, that kind of brings us to the conclusion of this single life with Bill and Robin. Here we are.
Deal breakers.
Deal breakers. We could talk about that next time.
Yeah.
And pets are wonderful, by the way. If you have cats, I used to have a cat and I had no problem. That was her name was Smokey. Mm-hmm. Wonderful cat. And they're fascinating creatures. But we want to tell you, as you're listening to the show, yeah, we're all over the place. That's going to happen on the show. However, you can always tune into the show. We have a podcast site set up called The Single Life with Bill and Robin. And I think my last time I checked, if you just put that in Google, you're going to see all sorts of references to it. Even though we had our first pilot episode floating out there in the internet world, it's out there. We have a podcast called The Single Life with Bill and Robin. It's on most of the podcasting platforms. You'll see this. You can download it. There's a YouTube site. It'll be on there at Radio Bill. My website's radiobill.net. If you want to send me an email, go to radiobill.net. Again, I put the first pilot episode out that I don't know that was ready for broadcast, but it's out there on the podcast page. It's there, and we have people listening in other countries already.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, thanks for listening. This is The Single Life with Bill and Robin.
Thanks for listening.
Just Google the title of the show. Look for the podcast action, and we'll see you next week. Right, Robin?
See you next week. Thanks for listening.